Welcome to the Songs from the Howling Sea podcast, a special behind-the-scenes series.
In Battersea Park, London, there stands a tree. A tree planted in honour of somebody who never lived in London. Somebody who never even lived near London. Somebody who has got absolutely nothing to do with London. And her name was Grace. Grace lived in Northumberland, and her father made about £6,000 a year in today's money, which of course is a pitiful income. Roughly about 6,000 times more than a London history podcaster makes. Not only did her father make a paltry sum, he also had to live in a drafty hovel with absolutely no social life. In fact, the high point of the week was rowing to the nearest vegetable patch to get provisions. Because you see, Charles II, when he wasn't busy having children with everyone except his wife, had built a lighthouse on Longstone Island, and Grace's father, William Darling, was the keeper. Now, life on this tiny island could be quite mundane, the highlight of which was the £10 yearly bonus you could expect for satisfactory service, which hopefully offset the relentless fear that you were slowly descending into madness and ultimately suicide, exhibited by many lighthouse keepers of the era. One dark and stormy night on September 7th, 1838, Grace spotted a boat smashing into a nearby rocky island. Realising that the weather was too rough to call a lifeboat, she set off with her father in a small rowing boat. Travelling back and forth amongst gales and winds, they managed to rescue 9 survivors from 62. News of her bravery spread far and wide. It was unusual for a young woman to show this level of courage and daring, and the press lapped it up. She was awarded a silver medal for bravery. Thousands of pounds were sent to her. Portraits were painted. Marriage proposals offered. So many gifts were bestowed upon her, the Duke of Northumberland, who also gave her a watch and a silver teapot, became her guardian and founded a trust in her name. Overnight, she had become the nation's heroine. Plaudits kept rolling in. William Wordsworth wrote a poem about her. She was invited to star in a performance at the Adelphi Theatre in London, which she turned down. Even Queen Victoria sent her 50 quid. Then the letters arrived, hundreds and hundreds from fans and fetishists alike, letters praising her actions, requesting signatures, locks of her hair, pieces of clothing, requests to kiss the letter paper written upon and return to sender. Visitors flocked to the island, boats arriving every day just to catch a glimpse of Grace Darling, hoping to meet her, touch her clothes. But Grace wouldn't leave the house. She was used to the solitary life, and it began to take its toll. She had no privacy, even in her own home. The constant hounding of the crowds became wearing. She developed a virus she just couldn't shake off. She withdrew more and more into herself. Then the dream started. Dreams of unblinking eyes, staring, always staring. She could never escape the unblinking eyes. Growing weaker and weaker, she moved to Narrowgate on the mainland. She developed more anxieties, became feverish and increasingly weak. She lay in bed, shut away from the world, with even well-meaning knocks at the door adding to her anguish, until she died at only 26 years old. Today you can enjoy a beer in the pub named the Grace Darling Pub in Victoria, Australia, or you can have a quiet, solitary picnic under her tree in Battersea Park, London. And as always, hot off the press this very morning, the beginnings of a song inspired by this very tale. It sounds like this.
Wide open between England's North Sea. the calm of the deep hides the faces that sleep. Life, I'm done. As new mornings bring with it old sorrow, sorrow. Mothers, they cried for their children. Fathers, they dropped to their knees. As I reached for the hands disappearing, dragged down to the flowers of the sea. But the praise of that day raised the price to be paid. And the day still runs each hour.